There we go. Well, we're working currently through a series entitled Disciples. We're using the acronym Disciples to work through that. And today we're talking about living in the fellowship of Christ. Only one thing is needed. And so as we think about disciples, maybe you ask the question, well, so what is a disciple? Well, that's what we're hoping we're communicating to you through this series. But the first slide shows us that, simply put, discipleship involves following, obeying, and participating. Following Jesus Christ and living in vital fellowship with Him, obeying His commands and making Him Lord of our lives, participating in His mission of rescuing those who are lost and making disciples. And so really it involves building up the church or the body of Christ and reaching out to the world. Richard DeRidder brings us some clarity regarding discipleship when he says this. He says, a man may choose whether or not he will follow Jesus Christ, but once he has chosen to follow, discipleship is not optional. Discipleship is precisely what following Jesus Christ is all about. And then a man named Gary Kuhn writes about it as well. He says, true discipleship is a lifelong process. We never reach an arbitrary point where we feel that we have arrived. The goal is to bring a person to the point where the necessary disciplines of Christian living have been built into him so that the lifelong process of maturing can reasonably be expected to continue in his own Christian experience. That a person never arrives at a point where discipling stops is seen in Paul's admission in his letter to the Christians at Philippi, and this was written towards the end of Paul's life. And he said this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Not that I've already obtained, Paul said. This is the man that's traveling around the world and planting churches and preaching the gospel. And he says, I haven't got there yet. I'm pressing on. Jay Grimstead summarizes this for us when he said, there's not a point at which a person stops learning, growing, and maturing, but there is a point of maturity or spiritual adulthood which a disciple is expected to reach, and at which time he will have established in his life those disciplines which will enable him to be a self-motivated, self-feeding, reproducing Christian. So in other words, the life of a disciple is an ongoing, growing process of moving towards maturity. So I want to just look with us briefly at the acronym that we're using, the acronym DISCIPLES. And it's important that we know what a disciple looks like if we're going to aim towards becoming a disciple. The first letter, D, directed by the Word of Christ. God communicates to us primarily through His Word, and any other means of direction and communication He uses will never contradict His Word. So if we're going to know what God thinks and has in mind for us, we need to know His Word well. Secondly, infilled with the Spirit of Christ, the only other option to living by the power of the Holy Spirit is life in our own human strength, wisdom, and ability. And Jesus said, the flesh counts for nothing. In other words, human strength, wisdom, and ability count for nothing apart from the power of the Holy Spirit filling and controlling us. Then, suffused with the love of Christ, our human love is changeable and conditional. If we are to love the unlovable and reflect to this broken world what Jesus is really like, we must have the fruit and power and love of the Holy Spirit filling us. Then next is controlled by the attitude of Christ. The attitude that this world calls us to is one of seeking after power and dominance and control and riches, Jesus came in deep humility and servanthood and lived as a servant, washing his disciples' feet. And when he did that, he said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Then we're called to be imitating the obedience of Christ. Jesus lived his life in complete obedience to the Father. And as a matter of fact, he said, I don't do anything except what I see the Father doing. So everything he did was in direct connection with and obedience to the Father. And he calls us to live as he did. Then we're called to be participating in the mission of Christ. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost and to give his life for others. He calls us to join him in his mission of rescuing those who are headed for eternity without God. And then today we're going to be looking at living in the fellowship of Christ. If we can just jump forward to the next slide. There's a quote by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray was a man who God used mightily in South Africa to see the outpouring of his spirit and reviving work in that nation. And he said this, the first and chief need of our Christian life is fellowship with God. As I need every moment fresh air to breathe, so it is only in direct living communication with God that my soul can be strong. Only in direct living communication with God that my soul can be strong. So we'll be looking today at living in the fellowship of Christ. Then the last two are exemplifying the character of Christ. Jesus forgave those who crucified him. He loved and welcomed sinners and those that others despised. He stood strongly against the religious hypocrisy of his day, and he broke cultural customs in order to reflect the love and grace of God. But he didn't compromise the truth or overlook sin. As a matter of fact, he didn't just happen to break cultural customs. He intended to break cultural customs in order to lead people to understand the difference between religious activity and walking with the living God. So we are called to be a people who exemplify the balance that Jesus exemplified in his character, loving sinners and hating the sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. And finally, submitting to the body of Christ. We live in an individualistic, self-centered, me-first, isolationist society. But when we become a child of God and choose to follow Jesus, we become part of a family and part of a body. And so no longer can we simply live for ourselves. Paul writes in Corinthians, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So today we'll be looking at living in the fellowship of Christ, and this sermon will be a bit different in that I will just be presenting to you a medley of Scripture using the account of Jesus and Mary and Martha's in Mary and Martha's home from Luke 10 as our focus, and we'll be looking at that in various different translations as we go along. So I won't be commenting on the Scriptures. I'm just going to be reading to you a medley of Scriptures that focus in on the theme of living in the fellowship of Christ. Jesus sat in Mary and Martha's home teaching those who would listen, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet soaking in every word that he had to say. But we're told that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She wasn't distracted by something evil. She was actually serving Jesus. And she was distracted with all the things that were around her pressing in on her so that she didn't have the time or focus to sit down with Jesus and listen. We live in a world full of pressing distractions that would keep us from sitting quietly at the feet of Jesus and learning from him. But the only way to find strength and rest of soul is in a consistent, deep, daily fellowship with Jesus Christ. It just reminds me when I think of the noise and distractions of our world. When I was in university, I was in the outdoor education route, and we would go on canoe trips on the North Saskatchewan River in Alberta. And my idea of a canoe trip is to get out in God's creation and listen to the silence. The idea of a number of my classmates was to listen to a football game while we're canoeing down the river. So my canoe partner and I would paddle like crazy and get way ahead of the rest of the crew so that we could enjoy the silence. Nothing wrong with football games. It's just paddling down the river isn't my idea of the place to listen to them. Well, let's just begin with a prayer. If you'd put that up for us, please. Would you just join me and let's pray this prayer together, inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word together. Father, your word is living, active, and powerful. It is useful for teaching me, rebuking me, correcting me, and training me in righteousness. And it leads me to understand the difference between living in my own human strength and living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, today I tune my ears to hear your word. I open my heart to receive your word, and I choose to submit my life to the truth and authority of your word. Please lead me by your Spirit to understand the truth that you have for me today, the truth that leads to real freedom. Change me today through the power of your word by transforming the way that I think. Show me anything that needs to be changed in my life, anything that needs to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and give me the strength to obey. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll look at the first of Luke chapter 10. This is verses 38 to 42, and that's the theme of our focus today. And so it says there, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." All these things, Paul says, I once thought very worthwhile. Now I've thrown them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I've put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing, in order that I can have Christ and become one with him. Now I've given up everything else. I've found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again, and to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. So, whatever it takes, I will be the one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. But it's not that I've already reached the goal or have already completed the course, but I run to win that which Jesus Christ has already won for me. Brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet, but, and the next slide, please, but this is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride. I run straight toward the goal. I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I press on toward the goal of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures, and they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all this by coming to know him, Jesus, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately Jesus, the one who invited us to God. Paul writes, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you the wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you. Those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That's how we know that we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Back to Luke chapter 10, Mary seated herself at the Lord's feet and stayed there listening to his words. Now Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to get on with the work by myself? Tell her to lend a hand. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you're fretting and fussing about so many things, but one thing is necessary. The part that Mary has chosen is best, and it shall not be taken away from her. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Never give your hearts to this world or to any of the things in it. A man cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. For the whole world system, based as it is on men's primitive desires, their greedy ambitions, and the glamour of all they think splendid, is not derived from the Father at all, but from the world itself. The world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear, but the man who is following God's will live forever. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So don't worry, Jesus said, about these things, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Everyone, Jesus said, who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Just a comment here. Jeremy announced IDOP, International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which is next Sunday. And there are about 300 million Christians living in the world today who do not live where it is free or safe to follow Jesus. And so many of them have done exactly what Jesus said here. They have given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children. Many of them have been kicked out of their home. Many of them have been kicked out of their families, out of their villages, or in many cases, especially in northern Nigeria, their entire villages have been burned to the ground and they have nothing left. And Jesus said, if you've given up all these things, you will receive 100 times as much and eternal life. Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul says, I thank God continually for you, and I never give up praying for you. And this is my prayer, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the all-glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and insight to know him more, that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit which will make you realize how great is the hope to which he is calling you, the magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians, and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. Back to Luke chapter 10. Mary, it says, settled down at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was very worried about her elaborate preparations, and she burst in saying, Lord, don't you mind that my sister has left me to do everything by myself? Tell her to get up and help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, my dear, you are worried and bothered about providing so many things. Only a few things are really needed, perhaps only one. Mary has chosen the best part, and you must not tear it away from her. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights and your hearts on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Set your minds on and think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. David wrote this, I ask only one thing, Lord. Let me live in your house every day of my life to see how wonderful you are and to pray in your temple. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And Moses prayed this, fill us with your love every morning and satisfy us that we will sing and rejoice all our lives. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. You will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever. In your presence, O God, is fullness of joy. Ask using my name, Jesus said, and you'll receive and you'll have abundant joy. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 10 again. Mary sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her. So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Seek the Lord, yes. Seek his strength and seek his face untiringly. Go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Let me read that again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Remember, we read Jesus picked out Zacchaeus out of a whole crowd and went to his house. Jesus went to the well where the woman was alone drawing water, because God, searching the earth, saw Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and knew their hearts were ready. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. My heart has heard you say, come, talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal and restore their land. Luke 10, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you worry and fret about so many things, and yet few are needed, indeed, only one. It is Mary who has chosen the better part, and it is not to be taken from her. Be still, cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Great peace have they, who love your law, and nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. He, Jesus, himself is our peace. I'm leaving you with a gift, Jesus said, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give, the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Morning by morning, I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I've put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than watchmen long for the dawn. Yes, more than watchmen long for the dawn. And the Lord said, there I will meet with you, speaking about the tabernacle. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak intimately with you, says the Lord. Moses, inside the tent of meeting, would speak with the Lord face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. The friend of God. Wow. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual, and prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God, knowing he would end up in the lion's den. That's not in scripture, but that's my parentheses. Just then a hand touched me, Daniel says, and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and feet, and hands and knees. The man said to me, Daniel, you're very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I say to you. God said about David, I have found David a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. Before daybreak, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. After sending them home, Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Once, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Well, we have around us many people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let's look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on the cross, but he accepted shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God had put before him. And now he's sitting at the right side of God's throne. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And let's just close with Luke chapter 10 once more, just the very last part of that. Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She's undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Let's pray. Jesus, of all the things that you could have commented on, you said Mary has chosen one thing, and one thing is needed. You've given us, Jesus, all that we need through, for life and godliness through our relationship with and knowledge and walk with you. And so draw us close to you in the midst of a crazy, busy, distracted, hectic, noisy world. Teach us what it means to be still and know that you are God. To sit at your feet and listen to your word. To hear from you so that we can go out into this noisy, distracted world with the peace of God filling our souls and sustaining us through the day. And so we would pray as Moses prays, satisfy us, Lord, in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gene. Let's stand together and respond in worship.